I'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, the second chapter. Beginning with verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now the them there is the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Then in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Yes, Christ died, was buried, and yes, he rose again. He died, was buried, and rose again for our salvation, for our justification, for our being relieved of the condemnation. But he also, in the same process, and this is neglected, and it shouldn't be, because it's equally as important. You say, how could it be equally important? Because salvation of the soul saves you from hell, and the church, it saves your life and service. The church preserves the word that gets you saved. The church preserves the truth of the word of God, and the faith once delivered to the saints, and that brings people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and in turn gives God glory, and it's in and through his New Testament church. Yeah. Acts 20:28 makes it clear. He said he shed his blood, or rather he purchased the church with his blood. We're a bought and paid for institution by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he purchased her, and so she is important enough for him to shed his blood for, to give his life for, then it ought to be important enough to us as well. And it should have priority and preeminence among God's people, those that are saved by the grace of God. But many of the Lord's church members don't even hold the church as such in high enough esteem. You stop and think about it. Without the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, without the church, you and I wouldn't have a chance to be saved. We wouldn't have any hope. There'd be no help. It's through and by his New Testament church that he works to redeem mankind from their sin. It's through and by the New Testament church that he strives to get us to save our lives for him in service through that New Testament church. And again, if it's important enough for him to shed his blood or give his life for, it ought to be very important to us as well. Now, the people of the church membership, they are a blood-bought people. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse number 18. 1 Peter, first chapter, and verse number 18. Says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed, we were bought, we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the members of the New Testament church are blood-bought people. They are a born-again people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes, speaking to the members of the church that were scattered abroad there, he says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. They had been born again by the grace of God, saved by his grace. And he admonished them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baptized, a baptized people. Look at Acts chapter 2 once again. Acts chapter 2 and beginning with verse number 28. Acts the second chapter and verse number 28. Well, okay, 38. Oh, boy. Well, 2028 is in there, so let's just go with that, I guess. You know, since I had my surgery and this losing my eyes, sight, and stuff like that, tell you what I've done. I wrote the scripture down backwards. I put the first scripture last and the last first. So, you see what kind of a pastor you got now, what little bit's left of him. But he's going to venture on and see what we can come up with by the grace of God. And maybe being limited will humble your pastor a little bit, and he'll be even more effective in the work spiritually. Anyhow, let's look at verse number 32 just to see what we come up with. This Jesus said, God raised up. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That's conviction. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so we can see that it takes baptism in order for one to be a member of a New Testament church. So a church is made up of blood-bought people. It's made up of born-again people. It's made up of baptized people. And the primary meaning of church membership is fellowship. Look at verse 42 here. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It's talking about the church. This they is the church. This them is the church. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word of God. All scripture given by inspiration. And fellowship. and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Listen, the church membership is a fellowship, and it is those fellowshipping with the Lord as well as with one another. If we have fellowship with Him, we'll have fellowship with one another, 1 John says. And so in the church, there is fellowship. Fellowship is based upon the apostles' doctrine, on the truth. There is no fellowship separate or apart from the truth of God's word as far as the New Testament church is concerned. We have no fellowship with churches who do not abide in the word of God, who do not have the lineage from one church to another church. We do not have fellowship with them because we cannot do as Amos 3:3 says, if two walk together, how can they be? How does it go? If two walk together, they have to be agreed at any rate. So there's fellowship, and there's fellowship for the individual child of God with one another. And it takes faithfulness to continue in and carry on that fellowship. Faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to the apostles' doctrine. Faithfulness to the teaching of the Word of God. Listen, worshiping and serving the Lord is not something we do on Sunday and Wednesday or some other time that we're appointed to come together, but we are a member of this church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We're a part of it, and we're to be in fellowship with it at that during all of that time, and we're to conduct ourselves and be faithful to the teaching of the Word of God, and each individual member is expected to do that and to carry out. And so, why are we faithful to the Word? So that we can enjoy the fellowship. And by the way, the Ecclesiastes, I believe, says that it's like the dew. What was it that come down on Aaron's beard? Anyway, as Brother Cooper would say, that's chasing a rabbit, or somebody or other says that. Anyway, church membership is important. Church membership is important. God relates in a special way to members of the New Testament church. That Holy Spirit that He promised, that Holy Spirit that would come, that power that the church would receive, is specific to a New Testament church, each and every New Testament church. And so, with that Holy Spirit power, it gives us understanding, it gives us the ability to live our lives. And by the way, a member of a New Testament church is a way of life. It's not something we do from time to time. It's a way of life. When God calls a preacher to be a pastor, and He don't call him to be anything but a pastor. If you desire the work of a bishop, that's pastor of a New Testament church, that's why He calls men to be a pastor of a New Testament church. It gives you that desire to be a pastor of the church. And it is a way of life. It's not a job. It's not something you do. It's your life. You live it every day, all day long. And when you go to bed at night, then you worry and you are concerned about the Lord's churches, the Lord's work, and particularly the New Testament church that you're a part of. And listen, that goes for every church member. If Jesus shed His blood for this church, is it asking too much for us to live it day and night, to be a part of it? For it to be our way of life. It's not asking too much, considering the great price that was paid. How important is it to you, the church that you're a member of? If we just casually miss, and then it's not that important. If we let other things come in our way and we forsake the church and get too busy to take care of the work through the church, listen, it's not important to us. But a church membership is very, very important to Jesus Christ. Again, through that Spirit in his office work is how he communicates with his people. And listen, if it wasn't for the Spirit in his office work, you and I couldn't understand the deep truths of the Word of God. The Bible makes it plain. That's why you go out and witness to some of these other church members out here, so-called churches, and you'll show them the plain truth, and they'll say, I never heard it that way. It's strange. Why? Because they haven't been under the presence of the Holy Spirit in his office work in a New Testament church to give them understanding, to teach them. You say, well, the pastors teach church. The pastors present the Word of God to the church. The Holy Spirit teaches and gives understanding. The teachers that teach in the church, they teach the Word, and the Holy Spirit then gives the pupils understanding. So how important is it? It's very, very important. It's important to obedience. Acts 2 and 38 again. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. And you'll be qualified for church membership wherein the Holy Spirit in his office work is. And you'll receive the benefit of that gift of the Spirit to the church. So, it's important to obedience in baptism. It's important in confessing Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. Matthew the 10th chapter and verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And so it's important for us confessing Jesus Christ, because the church gives us those things that we need to confess Christ to the world as we go forth day by day. The church gives us the Word of God, the truth, and that Word is what brings lost souls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are equipped through and by that church to confess Christ to the world. It's important to in putting one's light on the candlestick. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Begin with verse number 14. Speaking concerning the church. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. All right, so he's saying to the church, you're the light of the world. And yet Jesus said he was the light of the world. But you'll notice in John chapter 9 and verse 5, he says, as long as I'm here on the earth, I'm the light of the world. But now who's the light of the world today? The church. Because Jesus is up there. He's not the light of the world anymore, except through the New Testament church. You're the light of the world. Listen, if you want, who could be opposed, who could not rejoice in letting Jesus Christ reflect through them to this world to bring light and bring these poor lost sinners that are steeped in darkness and on the way to this place called hell? Brother, we ought to rejoice in the fact that God has chosen us to shed light upon them, that they might see their condition and that they might turn and glorify the Father which is in heaven, which will redeem them from their condemnation to an eternity in this place called hell. And so, putting your light on the candlesticks on the church, look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches, which no doubt the pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So you put your light upon the candlestick. It's in a scriptural New Testament church is where you're to put your light. You're not to hide it under a bushel, but you're to put it on there that it may give light all to those that are in the house, and that as a house that light may shine into all the world. It is important to opportunity of the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. They are church ordinances, and church membership gives you opportunity to partake of these divine ordinances. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go, teach them salvation, and then baptize them. Who did he tell to do this? His New Testament church. And so therefore, every New Testament church is duty-bound and obligated to carry out this commission that he gave to his church. And it includes the ordinance of water baptism. Because he says, those that are saved, you're to baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Did you know that as a member of a New Testament church, you're in a position, again, because of the Holy Spirit and his office work as comforter, to give you understanding to be taught the deep truths of the Word of God. And to have the secrets that have been hidden in the Old Testament revealed to you here in this New Testament by the help of the Holy Spirit in his office work in the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, that's Paul speaking, or the Spirit speaking through Paul, which also delivered unto you, or which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now, this was Jesus instituting his supper into his New Testament church. He's relating how he went about it. And Paul is delivering the supper in the manner of the supper to the church at Corinth, exactly as Jesus delivered it to his church there in Jerusalem. He's now delivering it to the church at Corinth. He says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. How often should we observe the Lord's Supper? Brother, we should observe it, but not neglect it. We should observe it as often as we feel like we would take the opportunity to observe it. And listen, observing the Lord's Supper should be a special occasion. So we have instituted into the New Testament churches baptism and the Lord's Supper, the two ordinances. And if one is a member of a New Testament church, he is in a position to observe the ordinance of baptism and to observe the administering of the Lord's Supper. And listen, I heard it said that the church administers baptism. The church administers baptism. The church doesn't administer baptism. The church witnesses the administering of the baptism, and the baptism is administered by a God called ordained preacher, preferably the pastor of the church. He is to administer it for the church. So, membership in the church is important because only church members have a right to vote and to be a part of the decisions made by the church. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts, the first chapter. And beginning with verse number 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simeon the Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So they were assembled together. There's about 120. Said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let the habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, he's addressing the church as they're assembled together. Now he says, church, wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, how many people do you know still alive today that were baptized by John the Baptist? Well, the qualifications are clear here for one to be ordained as an apostle. He must be one who had the baptism of John and had continued with the church from its early beginnings. Okay? He was one that was to be chosen. Now, there's no one who can meet those qualifications, so therefore, there are no apostles anymore, even though we have those that claimed to have 12 apostles or whatever that it was. But biblically, scripturally, no man today can meet these qualifications. Now, they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. All right. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Now notice, the Lord working through the church, chose. In other words, he put it on the hearts of the church members to nominate these two individuals. And notice, he led the church to vote for the individual that he would have. I believe the Lord works through his New Testament church in the same manner. And when the church takes action according to the scripture, led of the Spirit, it's him, the head of this body, who is making the choices and the decisions by working through and by this body. That's why it's so important that we remember we're church members all the time. It's a way of life. And remember that it's through us that the Lord carries out his work and presents his word to the world. Now, who could have a more important job than that? It's a burden, isn't it? Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. My goodness, we make a mountain out of a molehill when it comes to witnessing to people. We're hesitant. We're fearful. We have that man-fearing spirit. Get rid of it. Fear the Lord more and submit and do what he'd have us to do. Let's talk to people. Tell them about Jesus. Let's invite them to come to church. Invite them to come to Bible school. Invite them to come to camp. Talk to them about their need of Jesus as Savior. Help them to understand the condition and position that they're in. We're more afraid of disappointing people or being a hindrance to people than we are in disappointing the Lord and being a hindrance to the Lord. God help us. God help us. What kind of a condition are we in? How many people are going to die and go to hell because of our man-fearing spirit? That the Lord which knoweth the hearts of all men shall whether of these two. And you notice they cast lots. They voted. The church membership voted. That's why we carry on our work that way today. Now, most other Baptist churches, so-called, they have a group of men, a committee or something. Some other churches have presbyteries and so forth that make decisions and carry out things for the church. That's not God's order. Brother, God's order is through the membership of the church, and the church is to make the decisions in a vote led by the Spirit, guided by the Word of God. Either that or the preacher or the owner of the church, he does all of these things. So church membership is important because of the opportunities that it gives us. It gives us assistance. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. How well are we doing, brethren? When somebody's in need, somebody needs help, do we rise up, take care of it? Well, we should. And then if we consider that we do, don't pat ourselves on the back. But just remember, we've just done our duty. And he said, we're an unprofitable servant. Church membership is important to overcoming. By mutual exhortation, look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews 10th chapter, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? There's exhortation. We emphasize forsaking the assembling, but then there's something else in there as well. It's that exhortation. In other words, when I blow it, you come and tell me about it out of love. And it'll teach me and correct me. If I tell you the same, if I'm preaching, if you're teaching, if you're singing a song, you're exhorting. And listen, don't underestimate singing, because all through the Bible it tells us that God's people are saying praises unto Him. We're not to sing for entertainment. That's why we don't clap our hands to exalt those that are singing, but it's done for the honor and glory of the Lord. So we exhort one another. And not only that, but you know what? As members of a New Testament church, you expect me to live better than what I might otherwise. In other words, you're going to encourage me and help me, or even admonish me to live a better life than what I would otherwise. Not to mention that it's through the New Testament church and by the New Testament church that the gospel is preserved and is preached. The church. And then it's in, through, and by the church that the faith that's once delivered to the saints is preserved. Jude 3 tells us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's important to be a member of a New Testament church. It's a position that one should cherish because of the great price that was paid for it. We should do it with joy and rejoicing and not beaten down and depressed because we're a member of the church, so we can't do this, we can't do that. My mother used to tell me, "Can't never did do nothing." And that's about what it boils down to. You can do whatever you choose to do and you want to do. And by the way, I never quit doing anything I didn't want to quit doing. And when I got into church, I wanted to quit doing a bunch of things, and so I quit doing them by the grace of God. And I'm sure each of you can have that same testimony. Once I became a member of New Testament church, it was important to me to conduct myself and live my life differently. Why? Because I was representing Christ. What's that important about? It's important because He died on the cross for me to have the privilege of being a member of a New Testament church and having that desire and striving to live a life that's pleasing to Him because of what He has done. If you're here tonight and you don't know if you died right now, you go to heaven, be with the Lord. You need to look to Jesus. You need to repent of your sins and by faith trust Him. Repenting of your sins means with all of your heart, you desire to be with Jesus. You desire Him to forgive and to cleanse. You desire to be closer to Him because of what He has done. And with that desire, you need to follow through. You need to look to Him in humble prayer with all of your heart, desiring His forgiveness and His cleansing. Willing to turn from self and sin. Turn loose of all those things that you've been doing and you've been holding on to please God and to get into His good standing. And realize there's nothing you can do. There was nothing I could do. I tried and tried and tried. There was nothing I could do. And finally, when I gave it up, then He saved my soul. He can do that for you if you'll let Him. You say, "Well, I don't know for sure." Listen, the book of 1 John was written that you may know you have eternal life. That's for those that believe in Jesus, He said. Just believing in Jesus with the head don't get the job done. You got to get it in the heart. And that takes a surrender. If you're here tonight, Spirit of God convicts your heart. Why don't you come? Whatever the need is, if you're saved, if you're a member of the church, whatever the need is, come to Jesus. And He won't leave you ignorant of it. No. You know, I used to sit back in a pew and listen to the preaching and feel like, boy, I need to go to that altar. That wasn't a natural feeling for me because I didn't like to get up in front of people. You know what that was? That was the Spirit getting me to go to the altar. And when I'd go, I'd unload a ton off of me, and I'd go back satisfied and enjoying the peace that passed understanding. We let Satan and this old flesh rob us of a lot of pleasure and a lot of joy. Let's stand. If you hear, whatever the need is, come to Jesus. What shall we sing, brother?